Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment, presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the Princess Di video scam. Who put up, who put up the money, who financed it, who scripted it? We take you behind the scenes. It's an exclusive making of documentary today on Martin Malloy. We'll also visit the Martin Malloy Sexpo. We'll meet the real Colonel Sanders. We'll play Radio Gladiators and we'll ask who's moving the Hume Dam. Also, it's Australia's foremost showcase for raw, untreated talent. It's Pot of Shite. It's exclusive to this program. And we'll be joined by a couple of them blokes from Garbage. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that sadly isn't an elaborate hoax. Martin Malloy. Sing hallelujah, why not? It's another round of Martin Malloy. That was Dr. Alban. Good afternoon, everybody listening right around Australia. I'm Tony Martin, and this bloke here is with me, a man who was yesterday turfed out of the Sex Pistols press conference when he showed up with four Trevor Hendy tummy trimmers. Mick Malloy.
Anything I can do to help. Now, I'm here for you, lads.
Good on you. Now, enough tummy talk, because I'd like to open the show, if I may, on a spooky note.
Oh, okay.
With a few Martin Malloy unsolved mysteries.
Yeah, getting the creeps. It's a frightening segment already.
It is. In the past, we've tackled some of the biggies. Who stole Baby John's mo? What is sphagnum? How sharp is Jacko's nose? Amanda Vanstone, boxes or briefs? But today, a whole new slew of unsolved mysteries have been plopped on me desk. Like, where is the bloke who went the bollard on Parliament House?
Yeah, that's an unsolved mystery. Behind you! Behind you!
Police have made a national appeal for help in hunting down the man seen by millions of Australians at the forefront of that riotous, un-Australian assault on Parliament House, Canberra, back in August. I think we all saw the bloke in the papers the next day. You couldn't miss him. He's been dubbed the G-Man by investigating officers because he was clearly photographed on the front of every major daily wearing a colourful jacket with a big G on it. He's a fairly stocky bloke with a mo, and it was him who led the charge with the bollards. He grabbed a bollard and took to the front doors of Parliament House, gave him a bollarding they'll never forget. He's got a G on his jacket and a bad mo. I reckon it's Gibbo, Mike Gibson. I reckon it was him.
It's him.
Could be from certain angles.
Get him in a lineup.
Jeez, I tell you what, I'm going to take to the front of this building with a bollard. After this break. 13 people have so far been charged over the attack, but as yet the G-Man has slipped through the net, as has that Aboriginal bloke next to him with his fly at half-mast. Another shot of him in the paper today. He just zips himself up and passes unrecognised in any crowd, that guy. Police say the G-Man is possibly a unionist who attempted to disguise his appearance by throwing on an Aboriginal scarf and hat. Now, if so, that is the most piss-poor impression of an Aborigine I've ever seen. Even the footy show wouldn't get away with that. That is an Aborigine only Pauline Hanson could love. And you know, if they all look like that bloke, she'd be fine with them. Which brings me to my next mystery. Why is Fraulein Hanson selling her fish and chip shop? Yes, this has got people talking. The notorious Ipswich Chippy is on the market. What a fantastic investment opportunity. A chance to buy yourself a bit of Pauline. It comes with all fittings and accessories, plenty of white crow, white vinegar, whiting, white bait, and none of those dim sims which have started to bob up in Bay Marie's in recent years. Have you noticed that, Mick?
Yes, I have.
They don't belong there. They don't contribute anything. Our fish and chip shops are being swamped by dim sims.
Come over here, take the place of our Chico rolls.
That's right, and so far the Prime Minister has refused to condemn the fish and chip shop because he's worried someone might point out that he used to have his own fish and chip shop back in the 80s, as it were. But finally, here's a stumper for you. How can you tell if a dam's moved 5 millimetres? That's all the talk at the moment. The Hume Dam in New South Wales, it's shifted.
Has it?
It's shifted 5 millimetres. This is serious.
Wow.
5 millimetres, which has prompted the blokes in charge of the big tap to open it right up, drain a fair bit of water out and cause untold strife downstream. But I ask again, it's a bloody big concrete structure. How do you spot if it's shifted 5 millimetres? He's down there at the bottom bit every morning with a plastic ruler going, oh, Jesus, she's moved in 0.5 of a millimetre. Open the taps, flood the state. I'm on the first plane out of here, women and children first.
How do they do that?
I don't know.
How do you tell if a dam
has moved 5 millimetres? Here's some really scary news, Butney. Mm. This morning at 11:15 precisely, Senator Mal Colston apparently shifted 6 centimetres. According to a source in the Senate, it's the first recorded movement by Mal in 7 months. The building has been evacuated and more sandbags are being flown in. On your China, that's China Phillips. I live for you here at Martin Molloy. Mickey, are you sitting on any unsolved mysteries?
Unfortunately, I am, Tone. Here's a story that I'm praying is a hoax because it affects the name of one of the most important figures of the 20th century.
Who's that?
One Colonel Sanders.
Yes?
Yes, Colonel Sanders, the doyen of the chicken business, has come in for a bit of his own treatment, finding himself on the receiving end of a severe bucketing. There's a new book on the market, Tone, which claims that not only was Colonel Harlan Sanders not a real colonel,
really?
But that he was also an oversexed old rooster. The colonel, of course, is in no position to defend himself against these wild accusations as he passed away some 16 years ago, although many, including myself, believe he may still be alive. No, there's been sightings. I refuse to believe he could be dead, Tone. Do you remember what you were doing the day Colonel Sanders died? Most people do.
Well, I've forgotten.
I was attaching one of the Colonel's buckets to my dog's head to stop him tearing at his own stitches at the time. I'll never quite forget it.
What a special moment.
Oh, it was teary. The revelations, Tone, emanate from his eldest daughter, Margaret, who at the age of 86 has published a book called The Colonel's Secret. Yes, that was probably the first title that popped into her head. Yeah. The book reveals that Sanders had a voracious sexual appetite that his wife could not hope to satisfy. The book claims he took a mistress, set her up in business, then convinced the missus to take her into the family home in Kentucky, ostensibly to do the housework, but meanwhile allowing the horny old colonel to run amok under her roof, pretty much doing what he liked with the old chicken torpedo. Now, is this coming as a shock to you, Tone? Because I'm flabbergasted. I am flabbergasted. I don't see how the colonel could possibly have tended to the chicken empire and still found time for some pants-free action back at the hen house. I've often thought Kentucky Fried Chicken had certain aphrodisiac-like qualities, but here's a classic case of a bloke who's getting high on his own supply. And as for his attitude towards women, well, I'm a little dismayed and surprised. Mm. Okay, once I did hear him refer to the women folk as the other white meat, but I thought that was just a bit of chicken humour. As far as I know, the only bones the colonel was interested in jumping came with potato gravy and a moist towelette. Now I find out he was spending his time surrounded by chicken-grubbing nymphettes. Who knows what that little Jezebel used to get up to with the colonel. I'll bet she used to lay in wait for him. And when he got home, she'd go to the fridge, pull out a bucket of Kentucky and just start seductively tipping the contents all over her body. She's a chicken digger. She's one of those chicken diggers, Tone. And as for the claims he's not a real colonel, well, okay, maybe he was a little loose with the truth, but hey, Senior Sergeant Sanders doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it? This has capped off a pretty bad week for the colonel, Tone, who it seems just will not be allowed to rest in peace.
No.
Have you heard about this? People dressed as chickens have been dancing on the colonel's grave. I kid you not, it was a publicity stunt by People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, a group protesting about the misery suffered by factory-farmed poultry. Did you see the footage?
No.
It was disgusting. It looked like some kind of satanic Birdman rally. Oh, I can't get the image out of my head. The poor colonel, he must be turning in his grave. In fact, I'm sure he is, because I know before he died, they fitted his coffin out with a light in one of those rotisseries.
You can leave your hat on. That's Joe Cocker here at Martin Molloy, and while we're all in a raunchy mood...
Are you a bit of a pervert, or just considered by others to be a tad juvie? Yes? Then get along to Martin Molloy's Sexpo 96. We've got the greatest collection of blue gear ever assembled under the one roof and are inviting you, the public, to come along, check it out, and spend a fair bit of time going, quaw.
For just $69, get it, 69, you can spend a day browsing through over 1,000 different exhibits and stands we guarantee will get the assembled crowd sniggering like schoolboys. Why not join the queue to have a go at our nudie girl pen? Just turn it upside down and watch her bikini disappear before your eyes. For the discerning customer, check out our vast library of erotic literature. It's a stack of 40 National Geographics currently on loan from the box under my bed. You'll be knee-deep in bare-breasted chicks from third world countries for days. Or, if you're after something straight-out kinky, check out the photocopy of Tony Martin's butt that was considered too arty, even for Black and White magazine. And for anyone looking to get in some Pee-wee Herman-style trouble, kick back in our small dark theatrette and enjoy six complete and uncut episodes of Aerobics Oz Style, including the notorious star jump routine. Whoa, I'm starting to feel funny just thinking about it. And check your Martin Malloy Sexpo 96 guide, or you could miss our erotic, nay, steamy animatronic show, which simply features a sandman with fogged-up windows that just doesn't stop rocking. And ladies, browse through our collection of sex aids throughout the ages.
Right, here's your latest model. Here's one from about 20 years ago. One of the very earliest from our antique collection.
So where do you put the batteries?
No batteries, you just stick this handle in the end and go the crank. Watch.
And hey, don't forget to drop by the lecture theatre to be stimulated by our series of debates based on sex-related issues.
Okay, today's question is, who's the horniest cartoon character ever?
Freddy Rubbles.
What about JC from JC and the Pussycats?
Penelope Pitstop, hello?
One at a time.
Jessica Rabbit.
So get on down to Martin Malloy's Sexpo 96. The first 100 people through the door get a pair of jumper leads we're calling Senator Mal Colston nipple clamps absolutely free.
G'day, Steve Bidwell here.
Baby, that's Mariah Carey here at Martin Malloy for a bit of a change of pace on the next hour. A couple of the blokes from Garbage are dropping by.
They're beautiful.
On tour at the moment. I think the tour's in its closing stages. I know Garbage are doing a show tonight in Melbourne at the Palace.
Get on down.
And it's a damn fine show, apparently, so get down there. It's their only club show. Mm. And I think it's Butch Vig and Duke Erickson dropping by.
And it's on the arse end of their tour, so if there's going to be any hijinks, I'll bet you it'll be going on tonight.
Yes.
Down at the Palace. I'll be going nuts.
All right, they'll be squirting each other with fire hoses, that kind of thing. Now, also, Pot of Shite coming up in the next hour. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be hard to top Barry. Yesterday's winner.
Yes.
He was somebody's dad.
Yeah.
He got hold on. He just said, this is a pot of shite.
And he proceeded to trot out the chicken. Yeah. Trot out the duck.
His son told to trot out the duck, so he did trot out the duck.
Mm-hmm.
On Pot of Shite yesterday. We'll see what happens today. Also, we're talking video hoaxes in Radio Gladiators coming up soon. Now, Mick, it hasn't been planned this way, but it seems to be our sex show today. Got your eye now. What's that?
Well, look, I'm just having a read in the papers today, and you may have seen this, Tone. Optus has decided to cancel some of its Lonely Hearts phone lines.
Yeah.
They're calling them Lonely Hearts. We can call them sex lines.
I think so.
Because the people who use them most, the unemployed and pensioners, often fail to pay their bills.
Do they really?
Pensioners. They must have timed calls for their complaints now. What is a pensioner doing on the sex line?
Oh, well, I don't know.
We'll have to get the spy granny onto it. She can sort us out. Listen, an internal Optus memo reveals that people with a lot of time but little money have been racking up thousands of dollars on their phone bills by calling the dating lines, which charge up to $4.95 a minute.
Gee.
So they're getting rid of them. And, Tone, this is something I've been on about. You don't need to spend that money, people. This is what I do. You know, I know those lines are expensive. I don't have the money. I just dial numbers randomly out of the phone book and, you know, when they pick up, I ask them, you know, what kind of panties they're wearing.
Yeah.
It's much more fun. It's far cheaper. It's a much better option.
Is that legal, Mickey?
I'm not sure if it is or not, but it's loads of fun.
Is it really?
And it doesn't go to McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah.
You wait and they say, can I take your order? You go, oh, yeah, baby. Yeah. What kind of pants are you wearing? It costs you nothing and it's fun. You don't believe me.
I'll show it. Can't use a phone.
I'm sceptical. I have to say I'm sceptical.
Pick a number out of there. Just dial something up at random and watch me weave some magic.
You want me just... I'm not even going to look at what I'm dialing.
Yeah, sure.
We'll see what we get. Okay. This will be fun, kids. Stick around. There we go. Okay. That should be something. All right. What are you going to do?
Baby, I'm in the nutty. You can see my butt. Hey?
Michael, is that you?
Mum?
What do you think you're doing?
Nothing. Bye. And I suppose you think that's funny.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Yes, they...
Oh, Marge, I didn't want to have meatloaf for dinner.
Well, this is Martin Malloy, where it's time for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Or is it time for Radio Gladiators? Mm. It could just be an elaborate media hoax.
That's right.
Everybody's talking about the Princess Di footage. In case you haven't heard, it's not real. It's actors pretending to ride each other around the lounge room at Highgrove.
There's a coveted gig. I was on the short list, were you?
Yes. Oh, they were extensive auditions. The Royal Romp video has been exposed as one of the most elaborate media hoaxes of the decade. Less than 24 hours after Britain's biggest selling newspaper published video images, said to show Princess Diana cavorting with ex-lover James Hewitt, its editor admitted he was the victim of cunning fraudsters. We were conned into believing that a poor quality film of two people frolicking together were the Princess of Wales and James Hewitt.
Because they didn't want to believe it.
No!
They didn't want to.
Oh, they were just saying, we can't.
Oh, well, if we have to.
All right, then.
We will.
And I'm saying, could it be the work of Joey Skaggs? Remember Joey Skaggs?
We had him on, we think.
We think it was him. He is the world's foremost proponent of your media hoax. He's been doing it for 25 years.
Yep.
He stages stuff. He sends it to the papers, to the news. He sees if they'll run with it,
and bite.
Then he charts what happens afterwards. He's a kind of a social experimenter. He's got some highfalutin name for what he does. It's just media hoax, as far as I can see. He was on the show about 3 months ago, and if you remember, we asked him what he was going to do next. Here's what he said.
But I am thinking about doing something. I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
All right. Peep. P-E-E-P. That's singular. Peeps.
Right.
P-E-E-P-S is plural. Yeah.
Dear.
I'm going to need some thinking music, Grace.
Yes. There you go. Could it have been Joey's work?
Been the horsey's name.
It says here, it doesn't say who did it, but it says that the video fraud used models to act out the romantic scene scripted from the book Princess in Love. So obviously there was a bit of horseplay in the book.
Yep.
No one twigged onto that.
Yep.
Okay. Based on Mr. Hewitt's account of the 5-year affair, neither of the models were well known, but were lookalikes, and were well aware of the scam. They were told they were needed for a pilot video of a comedy program which was not intended for broadcast. I wonder if the guys who were in that Rodney King footage have tried the thing. We were told it was a new sitcom. We were told it was Gary Coleman.
It was my big break.
So there you go. It's all a shonk. And we're saying today, are you the mastermind of an elaborate video hoax yourself? We want people to call us up with video hoax footage that they may be in possession of. And in this case, you can make them up. I've got some video hoax footage, Mickey.
Oh, really? What are you sitting on?
Well, I've got footage of Pauline Hanson at a Yothu Yindi concert. Nobody believes it's real. Nobody's buying it. I've got video footage of Fergie behaving in a dignified and regal manner.
Really?
I've shown it to newspapers. Nobody's buying it.
You're going too far. You've got to make it more believable.
What do you got?
Well, all I saw last night was Peter Costello apologising in Parliament.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that just can't be.
That's not real.
I smell a rat. That pompous git. There's not an apology in that, man.
And I must say the footage was met with the laughter it deserved in Parliament too. What about footage I'm in possession of, Mickey, of Michael Jackson out on the town with a bevy of beautiful women?
Oh, now... Oh dear, no one's going to be biting on that.
What about Bob Geldof without his ridiculous squiggly beard and mo combination? That's footage I've got.
Yeah.
I can't convince anyone to run with it.
You remember that Roswell alien footage?
Yeah.
It was later proved to be a hoax?
Yeah.
Well, I'm maintaining Channel 7 are doing the same thing with Teddy's head. Oh, mate, Teddy's head is a hoax.
Oh.
It can't be real. It's paper mache. Someone's grabbed a mirror ball, plonked it on his head, painted it in fleshy colours and said, on your way.
Well, maybe that's going to be the big finale this evening. Who can say? Here's one. I've actually got some video footage of a well-dressed Steven Seagal. Hard to believe, I know.
Wow.
Have you seen, there's a great photo on the inside of the back cover of this week's Who Weekly.
Mm.
It's Steven Seagal and his babysitter who are having a kid together.
Mm.
And you tell me which one's the most pregnant. Look at Steven Seagal dressed, as always, like a Chinese restaurant. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for outrageous hoax video footage,
yep,
that you claim to be in possession of, preferably involving a public figure or celebrity that we can all have a bit of a fun, you know, at the expense of.
Yep.
That's how the show works. And do we have a prize, Gracie? Yes, indeed. In the prize lounge today, we have a copy of the new Blackadder Christmas Carol video and one of the finest films ever made, The Wrong Trousers, starring Wallace and Gromit. It's Oscar-winning fun, and it could be yours. Plus, you'll go into the drawer for a trip for you and three friends to the Galliano Sambuca singles party at Club Med Noumea. This is not a hoax.
No.
It's a real prize. It's going off this Friday. Call us now with your video hoax footage. 1-800-657-657. There it is. Didn't I tell you somebody would get to that song soon enough, Mickey? That's Taylor Dane, Can't Get Enough of Your Love. The
Barry... song's a hoax.
The Barry... it is a hoax. It's the Barry White classic, rejigged, and it was pretty big when it was played on The Simpsons.
Mm.
And then, of course, we used it in The Love Machine, and we've never had so many requests for a song. We had to play the thing in its entirety,
yep,
if I remember.
That's
and
right.
I said at the time, Richard Clapton, somebody's going to go, there's a gold mine to be minted here,
mm,
and redo it. But Taylor Dane got to it first. It's Radio Gladiators.
Mm.
We're looking for video hoax footage. We've heard about the Princess Di hoax footage.
Yep.
And remember last night how Channel 7 was sending out faxes going,
yeah,
we are the only people with the hoax footage. None of the others. Do you reckon they're cacking themselves over at 10 and 9 today?
It'll be one of new release coming out any minute. We were duped. We were the only ones duped.
All right, well, let's see who's got actual celebrity video hoax footage. Who's first, Mickey?
It's Stuart. How are you, Stewie?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Not too bad at all. What particular footage are you in possession of?
Oh, well, I've got this tape that was recorded while I was on holidays, and the video went wacko, and it actually recorded Vulcan winning the whole lot on Sale of the Century.
Jeez! That couldn't be real!
He won the car, the money, and the Smokey Dawson recliner rocker. He looks great that he does.
I'm questioning its authenticity, Stuart.
Oh, it's brilliant.
All right, we've opened our account. There's your hoax footage right there. Heidi has got something which I don't believe. What is it, Heidi?
Oh, it's Polly Yates pre-peroxides.
Oh, really? With a sort of natural hair tinge happening.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable, actually.
Yeah, it is.
So have you got any footage of Alan Bond in his natural hair colour?
No, I've got Ray Martin with hair, though.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, is that real? Nobody can say for sure.
That's a hoax.
All right, thanks, Heidi. We've got Don now. Don, what hoax footage are you sitting on?
Well, fellas, a bit of a scandal, but it was actually Kate Fisher,
yes,
walking out of a nightclub. And there was a camera crew waiting for her.
Right.
Trying to give her some free publicity.
Yeah.
She throws her hands over her face and over her cleavage, of course, to hide her true identity. And takes off down the street.
Oh!
Leave me alone!
With a big floppy hat on and a sort of Woody Allen kind of arrangement going. Oh, well.
I think the Benny Hill music.
Totally unbelievable. Thanks.
She's a recluse.
Yeah, that's right. She's gone all garbo. Okay, thanks, Don. Now we've got Jan. Jan, what hoax footage have you got for us?
Hi, guys. Well, my video is of Amanda Vanstone. She's sitting in a pub. She's laughing. She's joking. She's talking with a group of students.
Oh, really? Are you a student yourself, Jan?
No, I'm not, actually.
Right. And she's having a good time with the fierce
she
kids.
She is. They're having a ball.
No one's trying to smash a chair over the back of her head.
No.
It can't be real. Can't be real.
Nope, that's not believable for the slightest moment. David, what have you got for us?
I've got a video of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. They're sitting in this cafe on the set of their latest movie, and they're both reading a newspaper.
Yeah.
And that's not all.
What are they doing?
They're also talking. They're stringing three or four words together.
Oh, right. And has Sylvester Stallone got those little glasses he wears from time to time to make people think he's brainier than he actually is?
Yeah, they're on there too.
And right. Is Arnie wearing a monocle?
Yeah.
Now I'm smelling a rat.
Okay, that's definitely shonky hoax footage. Nick, you've got something, haven't you?
No, it's Mick.
Oh, Mick.
No, Mick.
Oh, so we thought your name was a hoax for a second there. What footage?
Actually, it could have been.
What have you got for the newspapers?
Well, mate, I was actually filming a Silverchair concert one day.
Right, okay.
And just from off the side of the stage in the VIP area, Tim Fisher's just flicked the hat off. He's gone out, he's done a half somersault and landed in the crowd. In the full-on mosh pit, and he's just crowd surfed, and he's just got in there and just moshed for the whole concert.
So, well, what's wrong with that? That's just a normal Saturday night for Timbo, isn't it?
He was in form. It was incredible.
Oh, okay.
It could be hard.
All right, well, we don't know about that. I mean, it's sounding believable from where I'm sitting. And finally, James. James, what have you got?
Yeah, I've got footage of the Pope running a marathon.
Oh, he's fit and ready. They found nothing in there. He's been given the thumbs up. He could probably run a marathon.
He could.
And didn't you say, Mickey, that you thought...
I thought I may be in possession of some hoax footage myself because I saw some footage of the Pope driving along in the Popemobile chucking invisible rats out the window. What's all that about?
Oh, well, is that hoax footage? I don't know. We've got quite a selection to choose from, Mickey. Which one are you biting on?
Well, I'm having a look up the list, and I'm thinking Amanda Vanstone in a pub having a yak and a friendly drink with students. It's about as unbelievable and hoax-like as I can imagine.
All right, that's our winner. Yes, indeed, Jen. You're our winner today. A few students, they're popping out to the hot dog stand and playfully squirting mustard on each other and having a big laugh.
They're singing bawdy ditties. They're hugging each other going, oh, I love you, Amanda. Oh, I love you more.
All right, you've got them two comedy videos, Jen. Coming your way, the Blackadder Christmas Carol, The Wrong Trousers. You've gone into the drawer for you and three friends. Do you have three friends, Jan?
Oh, I got more than that.
Oh, well, you'll have to make a short list to see who's going to Club Met Noumea. We're going to be drawing that Friday. Thanks for taking part.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to everybody who perpetrated a media hoax today on Radio Gladiators, and we'll be back in the next hour with a couple of blokes from Garbage.
This is Martin Malloy.
Your Honor, all the defense is asking is a chance to present expert testimony on the mental condition of these two boys.
As a mitigating circumstance.
Well, Your Honor.
It's just another word for insanity.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
The event.
This hour of Martin Malloy, Pot of Shite, the latest terrifying collaboration between ourselves and Stephen King. And next up, a couple of members of Garbage drop by, all thanks to Coca-Cola. It's the ultimate summer refreshment. Stars, it's Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. What's this about UFO sightings, Mickey?
What's going on?
Oh, look, in New South Wales, there's reports of UFO sightings. I don't believe that.
No.
That's just another hoax.
It's got to be.
Just be some kind of prank.
What do they take us for?
If you can't believe footage of a member of the royal family riding their illicit lover around the room like a horse, what can you believe?
I don't know. I give up.
I don't believe anything now. I just don't know what to believe anymore. It's the second hour of Martin Malloy. Let's get some musos in here, shall we? Our guests today are two-fourths of Garbage, the band whose loud and shiny self-titled album has sold over 2 million copies and who are currently winding up their tour of Australia, I think last show tonight in Melbourne. These two hail from Wisconsin. They set up the band with a buddy and roped in their lead singer from Scotland. Let's see what they've got to say for themselves. It's Butch Vig and Duke Erickson. Gents, thanks for dropping by today.
Thanks for having us.
How are you enjoying our nation?
We love it here. We've been partying a bit too much. Seems to be a party after every show.
Is that right? Are you being lured into bad habits and rock and roll lifestyle?
Well,
think?
It didn't take much luring. It's there, you know.
We have to ask, because the band's called Garbage, are you getting Australians referring to you as garbos?
Depends.
Yeah. You'll get
which country we're in. En français, we're garbage.
Oh, are you really?
En français.
Well, welcome to our intellectual melting pot.
Yeah.
How are the shows going? How are you going with getting the sound of the album on stage, or are you not even bothering with that?
No, the shows have been great. We've had really good fans, and we've played over 200 shows now.
Hmm.
So I think we've we've got it down pretty well. We're no longer a slave to the technology. We abuse it every night. So.
Right. Because the background of you blokes is primarily as producers. Do you actually prefer knocking it up in the studio or getting it out on the road and trialing it in front of an audience?
Working in the studio is just so totally different animal. I mean, you don't get that instant gratification. You know, you do lay something down really good and you just sort of pat each other in the back.
No, all right, sometimes we're cooking.
Thank you very much.
Let's have some coffee. Thank you. Good night.
If it's really, if it's a blistering solo, we crack a beer. That's the only difference, coffee or beer.
Now, you blokes were both in bands in the 80s, of course, but the press loved to portray Garbage as three boffiny kind of producers. And a woman out
three
the front.
Three what?
You know, she wanted scientists up the back twiddling knobs.
White coats and all
that. Yeah, kind of thing. How does it feel in that case to just get out on the stage and act like kids mucking around with musical instruments? Is it like you've been let off the leash?
Yeah, we actually do feel like we've been let off the leash, actually. Yeah. We slaved away on the album for a few months, you know. And
for people who haven't heard the story, how did you hook up with Shirley Manson? How was that?
Shirley was in a band called Angelfish, and they made a video and they played it once on MTV. And Steve happened to tape it that night and call us up the next day and said, "There's this woman who's got a great voice. We should call her and ask her to sing on some songs." And she was kind of, her band wasn't really happening. The drummer had left the band and stuff in the middle of a tour. And so she came over ended up staying. She ended up singing the whole album, and now she's part of the band.
And how was that first meeting? Was it nice, polite chit-chat? Hello, how are you? What are your interests?
That's exactly what it was. The first time we met her was in London, and we sat down, and we had tea.
Okay.
At a really posh hotel.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
She thought we were a bunch of wankers.
Were you in the cravats, the smoking jackets, walking around with the pipes? Shirley, welcome aboard.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You talk, we'll listen.
And is MTV, were you basically at that stage using it as an audition reel?
We didn't really have any songs finished at that point, and we didn't really want to start doing an audition thing, so we were really lucky that it just worked, because I can't imagine us having really made the record without Shirley. I mean, we had all these ideas, but we didn't have any songs finished, and she really was kind of the lightning rod that put a torch to it.
She came in and kicked a bit of ass, said, "Come on, boys,
right.
Let's get going, write some songs." And what have you learned working with someone from Scotland?
Well, Fanny is different in the States over in Europe, and
that'd
it took us a while to figure that out. We didn't.
That's the major thing we've
that's
learned.
That's one of the major things.
Yeah. And Butch, in the early days, I said you were at film school. Is that right?
I met Steve in film school, and we hooked up with Duke and started playing in bands.
Mm. Did you knock up any masterpieces in your time at film school? Because I love going along to see.
No, they're incredibly unwatchable.
That seems to be the norm. Does that give you any kind of inspiration? Do you want to get out and film a few clips for this band or anything like that?
I think on the next album we may try and direct some of our own videos. We love collaborating with the directors who worked on this album, and we were very involved in the process of making videos. But
and they get paid so well.
Damn, those videos are expensive.
All right, well, let's have a listen to a bit of the album now, I think, here at Martin Malloy. Here's a bit of Garbage. We'll be back in a moment. Stupid Girl from Garbage here at
Martin Malloy.
And Jick and Butch from Garbage are with us here on the panel today. Have you got anything to take back with you? We have to ask. Any ideas, something you'll use in the studio? You know, here's what happens. American musicians come back, they always leave with a didgeridoo. I don't know how many American musicians have gone, "This will be good. We'll work this into the next record."
They sound cool, you have to admit. They're amazing sounding. I don't know. We have been sampling a lot of the beer, which is really tasty. I don't know if we'll be able to take any back with us.
Sampling as in, are you drinking? I imagine you guys in the studios trying to hook a couple of channels up to a can of beer going, "This will be good." Sample that one. Tell us about your first studio. Apparently it was a bit of a homemade job. Is that right?
Super lo-fi, yeah. Mm. It was just a little four-track, and then we moved into this warehouse, and then we bought an eight-track. We really only had like six microphones, cheapo microphones. Mm. But there was a hot punk scene at the time, and we started recording tons of punk bands from all over the Midwest, and that's kind of where we started to make a reputation.
It was a typical glue egg cartons on the wall for acoustic perfection, you know.
My mum can make the costumes.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
kind of vibe. Right, and what, you had a revolving door on, so you'd sit there and like a steady stream of punk bands would come in, drop their load,
apart and you'd bang it into fashion. That's how it would work.
Yeah.
We'd have to buy new gear to replace what they took out the revolving door.
And, well, we've got a couple of producers here. Let's ask for some technical information.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Goody.
What does it mean, go in the loop? Every time I look at a record cover these days, there's a lot of looping being done.
We're not sure, but we see it on so many records.
Yeah.
So we just put it on ours.
What is that? How can people at home, if they want to go the loop, if they're thinking about getting into the looping caper, what do they need to know?
It's basically repeat ad nauseum.
Right. So you get something and just repeat it over and over.
Yeah. It's basically repeat ad nauseum.
Right. So you get something and just repeat it over and over.
Yeah. It's basically repeat ad nauseum.
Right. So you get something and just repeat it over and over.
Yeah. It's basically repeat ad nauseum.
Right. So you get something and just repeat it over and over.
Yeah. It's loaded into a sampler and just endlessly until you're really sick of it.
Right.
And you stop it.
That's fantastic. And you can just pinch it. What's the story? You can just pinch something off somebody else's record, just whack it on yours a few times. What is the legalities there?
Well,
sometimes you have to spend money to do that.
Sometimes you got to get clearance. It depends.
Or sometimes you just pray that they don't notice.
We use there's a Clash loop on Stupid Girl.
Right, is that to
Train and Beam?
Yes.
And we started the whole song jamming on top of that loop. We wanted to write a song with a real simple bass line. Because that's like a signature to the song, you end up having to pay royalties. And at one point we thought, we'll go back and re-record it. We spent like days trying to make it sound as cool as that and didn't get the same vibe, so we just ended up using it.
And has anybody from The Clash given you a call and say what they reckon?
Not yet, no. I don't even know that they've heard it. But
their lawyers have heard it, though.
Yeah. I see.
They have about five lawyers listening to it. So.
What about yourselves? What do you listen to? Is it when you're working in the studio so often, do you find yourself getting very cynical about music, or are you still able to walk down to a record shop and get pretty excited?
Don't really listen to that much music. We watch a lot of films. Mm-hmm. We have stuff constantly playing in the studio, like Blade Runner, Brazil, Blue Velvet. It just repeats over and over. It's great stimulation for a
National
Velvet.
So have you thought of what?
Baby goes to Monte Carlo.
Exactly. Try Don Knotts, the shakiest gun in the West. See what that produces on
That's
the second
inspiring.
Garbage album.
And Mr. Limpet.
Oh yes. So what are you working on for your second? Is there going to be a second Garbage album?
Yeah, we're working on it. I mean, it's really hard to write when you're on the road. You got to deal with remembering your hotel room number and all that kind of stuff. You can't really get in the mindset. You know? Where's my luggage is about as far as I get. But, we have a lot of ideas and walking around with our little handheld recorders and, you know, mumbling or whatever.
And will you be finding any time to produce stuff for other bands now, or is it just the blinkers on, it's all garbage? Yeah, is it just all about you guys now?
It's all about us. We just talk about ourselves all the time.
We love it.
Well, thanks for coming in and putting up with our inane banter, and all the best of luck with the rest of the tour.
Thanks.
Oh, we dance till dawn in this studio. That's Gina G. Just a little bit here at Martin Malloy. Before that, a couple of gents from Garbage, Butch Vig, Duke Erickson, and they're doing their final show, as I mentioned earlier tonight, their final Australian show in Melbourne at the Palace. Get down there. And, they were talking about the old looping caper, and they were referring to a couple of songs, and here's the song they were talking about, The Clash's Train and Vane, the front. Yeah, there it is. Remember this one? Oh, that takes me back to the schoolyard. Danicky. Okay, and here's the front of Stupid Girl. See what they've done? You see what they've done?
They've given it a cuddle. They've given it a cuddle and made it their own.
They've polished it up and turned it into something new. Have a crack at it yourself, kids, in your backyard recording studio. Yeah. See what you come up with. If you've got raw, untreated talent, there's only one place for you, but Pete.
It's time for radio's premier talent quest, Pot of Shite. Could you be the next Frankie J. Holden, the next Debbie Newsom, the next Grant Dodwell, Teen Queens, or Sam C. and the Fearless? Even if you're merely the current Sam C. and the Fearless, give us a call and let us lead you to the Pot of Shite at the end of the rainbow.
Hello, Barry, how are you?
Tremendous.
There you go.
And having a lovely quiet evening, and my son said, Dad, I want you to do a trot the ducky up. And you know what? He said, you're on a pot of shite or something. And here we are.
He's not wrong, Barry. Why don't you take the duck for a walk on Pot of Shite?
I'm going.
And Barry, how long can you duck on for?
I've been known to duck on for quite a while, actually.
I can believe it.
Every winner on Pot of Shite takes home a 3-pack of CDs thanks to Warner Music and goes into the draw to win a Ford Festiva Trio valued at more than $17,000. Ford Festiva, the escape hatch. Fun to drive and easy on the wallet. All thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Okay, lads, stir that pot.
We'd be happy to, as always, Pete Smith. This Ford Australian Open... they're the team.
What do you want to know?
They're the team who have very bravely decided to get behind Pot of Shite. Yep. It's tennis, I'm assuming.
It is indeed. One of the finest tennis tournaments in the world.
Who'll be out here? Where's it taking place?
All the big names. Well, it's at the Melbourne Park, of course, as always. One of the world's premier tennis stadiums.
And with that fantastic roof.
Oh, with a retractable roof. You just, you know, you can sit there on the button. We're opening and shutting it all afternoon.
It's heaps of fun. Who'll be out here? Will Boris Becker be here?
Boris Boom Boom Becker, Tony, how many times have I told you? Get it right.
Is he still mad?
He's mad as a cut snake.
Is he still German?
He's still German. It goes with how can you have one without the other?
He's persisting.
You can't be mad and not German or German and not mad.
Well,
you gotta be
sure.
A mad German.
That'll get the calls.
Called Boom Boom. Have I offended anyone?
No, only those Germans, and they're not listening to this. They're over on another comedy
Easy
program.
Easy listening music.
What's that show that's hosted by the two German guys?
Oh, Hans and Fritz, driving you home
with Pot of Scheitenhausen. All right, if you'd like to call up, maybe you've got some musical talent. Maybe you're a genius on the bongos. Maybe you're a master impressionist. Maybe you're Lord of the Dance. We'll accept anything. Give us a call here at Pot of Shite, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
FM.
It's Pot of Shite here at Martin Malloy. It's a showcase for new talent, up-and-coming, as-yet-undiscovered talent. Mm-hmm. Who started on this segment?
Oh, the Sex Pistols?
Did they?
I think when they were very young, yes, originally. I think they came on and did Antichrist.
Right, really, back in 1974.
Yes, they did.
Back in the early days of Martin Malloy.
And haven't they kicked on?
They certainly have. And don't the press hate them?
Well, they're an easy target for the press, aren't they? Everyone's having a go.
How's the treatment in some of the papers today?
Well, it's very tweet. Well, they're not as fiery as they once were. Well, leave them alone. Apparently they're very good in concert.
Okay, let's meet some real talent. We've got Don on board. Are you there, Don?
Sure am.
What have you got in the way of shite for us?
Well, it is shite, and I reckon I've mastered the world's fastest Devil Went Down to Georgia rendition.
Gee, and it's a pretty fast song itself, isn't it?
It sure is.
Okay, well, you take it away with a very fast version of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Are you playing violins?
No, it's all verbal.
Okay, all done with your own body. Take it away, Don.
Devil Went Down to Georgia, looking for sort of deals in bags, way behind, we'll make a deal. Came across a young man, saw him feeling playing hot. Devil Jump, here's some football, let me tell you what. Guess you didn't know, but I'm fiddle player too, and if you can't deck it, I'll make a play with you. You play perfect, go fiddle bob, give the devil a Jew, but fiddle gold, gets a sore thing, I'm better than you. Boy, said my name's John. Anybody who's seen, take your bet you're going to because I'm the best as it's been. Johnny, roll, dip your bone, play your fiddle hard, because Hellbrook lives in Georgia and the devil deals cards. If you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold. If you win, if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Take your head out of the bucket. Now, Don, at the end of the ad break, we're going to be going to air with this, so do you think you can repeat? Beautifully done and far superior to the original, in my opinion.
Sound like he was doing it backwards.
Yeah, I didn't get to do my violin solo, but...
We'll
contact the world's fastest violin player, and you guys have got it made.
Thanks very much, Don. Now we've got Shane. Shane, what are you doing?
Rocky and Bullwinkle, mate.
Oh, you going to do both parts?
I'll do both parts.
You're doing them really fast.
Oh, no, I don't think I can compete with that. I hope everyone will forget about that one by the time I finish.
Give us the Rocky and Bullwinkle treatment, Shane.
Hey, Rocky, wish me put a rabbit in my hat. Again, that trick never works. This time for sure. No, this bat is going to get another hat.
Well, I can still recall Don's performance, but it's a bit hazier. Mm. So, Shane, hang in there. You could still win here on.
Shane, didn't I speak to you the other night when I rang that Rocky and Bullwinkle sex line?
You let me.
I'm sure that was you.
I'll tell them what you told me if you said that.
Hey, 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 hey.
I thought that line had been abolished long ago.
It's not allowed to be said over here.
I see. I prefer the Jason the Pussycats line myself. Have we got Sue? Are you there, Sue?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, how are you, Val?
Not bad. You've got some talent.
Yes, I've got 10-year-old Nathan and 13-year-old Taryn here.
Right. And
not Nathan Cavalieri, is it?
No, different sort of talent.
Okay.
And Sue, what's your role in this?
I'm mum, just supervisor.
You're the manager.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they go big time, you'll be following them around the world like silver chairs
dads.
Oh,
sure, you bet.
Okay, put on your talented kitty,
All right,
Sue.
I'll put you on to Taryn first.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, school holidays, what a joy. We're writing this poem for Martin and Malloy. It is so boring, there is nothing to do, except for write this poem for you. Please give us a prize, it will make our day, and make us happy in a very special way. That's the end.
That's the end. Okay, you put your mum back on now, Nathan.
Hello.
Sue?
Yes?
You know, there's one way to win a prize on this segment, and that's to have the phrase, give us a prize, in your performance. I don't know, Mickey's, you're going all Bernard King on us, Mick. Which one are you biting on?
Look, I do like the cuties a lot, Tone, but I'm finding it hard to go past. Devil went down to Georgia real fast.
Gee, sorry about that, Sue. But, you know, when we were looking for shite.
Yeah. Good.
I think we painted the picture fairly well. Are you there, Don?
I sure am, yep.
Have you got your breath back?
Oh, just for another chorus.
Okay. Oh, you're going to give us some more?
Yep.
All right, well, we'll go out on that. So I'll just let you know you've got a 3-pack of CDs and you've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva Trio.
Oh, fantastic.
And that's thanks to the Ford Australian Open. We'll be drawing that in about 5.5 weeks. So you're going to have to hang in there, but it'll be worth it at the end if you come out of the barrel. And thanks for playing Pot of Shite today.
Thank you.
And take us out with another verse of The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
All right. When the devil finished, Johnny said, you're a pretty good old son, but sit down in that chair, then let me show you how it's done. Found a man, rumble, John, did a little, devil's man, Australian son. Down, bang, 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 string,
I don't remember the phrase diddle 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 in the original, but we'll accept that. Eric Martin Malloy. It was Phil Collins with Something Happened on the Way to Heaven, and now here at Martin Malloy, it's time for something real scary.
Next on Martin Malloy PayTV, Stephen King unleashes his most terrifying creation yet.
Hey, did we get any mail today?
Yeah, I think so. There's a couple of things here.
Where'd you put them?
I think they're over there on the stand.
The Stand. A new level of terror from the master of suspense.
Does anyone see my runners?
Yeah, there they are. Just over there, under the stand.
Stephen King's The Stand. Who knows when or where it will strike.
Hello? Anyone home?
Yeah, in here, mate.
Oh, all right. G'day, mate. Shit, who left that stand there?
The Stand. It looks harmless enough, but when you least expect it...
I'll get it.
Careful, your shirt's caught off. The Stand.
Right, that's it. I'm getting rid of this stand once and for all.
And so, once again, the Stand is passed on to another victim, unaware of its nightmarish power.
Here you go, doll. I've brought you a nice cup of tea.
Look out for the...
The Stand. From Stephen King, the master of terror who brought you the stool, the shelf, the settee, the sideboard, the bracket, the lectern, the footrest, the balustrade, and the Lazy Susan. Next on Martin Malloy.
So you want to watch this stand thing?
Nah, I gotta take a piss.
Yeah, me too.
I'll join you.
Martin Malloy, it's must-pee TV.
I feel...
That's Deborah Cox asking the musical question, who do you love? It's really time to sign off here at Martin Malloy, but I'm just going through what's on the telly tonight. I think we know what's on the telly tonight.
Teddy, 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 Teddy.
It's your last...
Who do you love? Teddy.
It's your last chance to see Teddy in action. It's the final of Murder One. I don't even watch Murder One. I'm going to be tuning in.
Are you coming to my Murder One party, Tone? Are you coming?
What would the requirement be?
You've got to get a big paper mache helmet and you got to wear it through the front door. Every week they get bigger. All the boys, they build on them during the week. People now, actually, their heads are dragging down along the ground. Can't get them through the door. You just hear, kung, kung,
you're like the kung. Head. And what about, I know Paul Hester will be glued to his telly in the shed. I know you'll be watching it, and I'll certainly be there just to see if it is, in fact, Teddy himself who's responsible.
It's all coming down to the videotape.
Yeah, okay.
Which I believe, and here's my tip, they're going to put it in and it's going to show Neil Avedon riding Teddy round the lounge room. Horsey style.
Oh, look, don't mention that, Mickey. People around the station today are walking around just disillusioned. They don't know what to believe anymore. If you can't believe that footage, what can you believe?
I don't know, Tom.
I mean, maybe nothing's real.
Nothing's
real. You know,
real.
I don't know. I'll try and pull myself together for tomorrow's program. I really will.
Chin up, little buckaroo.
What about, just in case people want to support Australian drama, I know Medevac's on, but I understand that's another one of those video hoaxes. So, you know. I'm reading about a few interesting things today, Mickey.
What you got?
Here's a product which is moving off the shelves. Australians are popping down to wherever you get the stuff from. I wouldn't know. And stocking up big time on chocolate body paint.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate body paint.
You'll need that for the Murder One party. I don't know why.
All over the top. Go as a choc top. Oh, we're amusing ourselves. Chocolate body paint. So people are obviously, we know what it's being used for. People are covering themselves in chocolate body paint and then risking severe acne, I'm guessing. Do you have to lay
a bit of a lick fest?
You have to lay an undercoat. How do you do this?
I don't know.
We might get into that tomorrow, or we might not. Here's another, just while we're talking, the downstairs department. Someone whose work we're very fascinated by is Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just say Michael Flatley. He's Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance. He insists on that. He's revealed that Celtic dance turns him into a raging tiger. He told a London press agent, it's the most incredible feeling, impossible to describe, but a huge aphrodisiac. I always have sex within an hour of coming off stage. Yeah, why do I get the feeling that ain't nobody else involved in that particular sex?
Yeah. Michael Flatley, Lord of the Jungle. Sounds like to me, he feels like a tiger.
Oh, yes.
Get out the chocky cream, Ladders.
He's straight out the door, straight off stage, and his Riverdance Spectacular, and straight down to wherever they sell chocolate body paint.
You know, he doesn't even break his step. He just shimmies off stage like that, down the street, gets a girl, shimmies into the bedroom, and dives on.
It's very awkward if they're calling for an encore. You'll often see him just staggering back on, you know, with his pants around his ankle. Chocolate all over. Okay, well, we really must go, I feel. It's that time. We'd like to thank our guests, Butch Vig, Duke Erickson, and all our gladiators and podsters. We'll be back tomorrow with Judith Lucy and Elliot Goblet. So see you then. If you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.